The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So ran Mamdani. Last week, he shocked the political status quo in New York City by winning the Democratic primary contest ahead of Andrew Cuomo, which means he is going to be the nominee for the mayor of New York City. He took out Cuomo, who had a Bill Clinton endorsement to boot. But who is the man that Donald Trump has branded a, quote, pure communist? Here to give us a full profile of the man who could lead us to the next mayoralty of New York City is Lorcan Nyhan, who is the head of training at the Communications Clinic and a columnist with the Sunday Independent. How you doing there, Lorcan? You good?
I'm great. Yeah, excited to talk about the most interesting thing that's happened in US politics, at least on the Democratic side, in some time.
Well, isn't that it? Had the Democrats became painfully anodyne, and as a result, nobody cut through, nobody made an impact and allowed the Republican candidate Donald Trump to take over the entire discourse?
Well, yeah, political paralysis isn't exactly that exciting to look at, and that's where they were. They didn't know what was the best way forward. They didn't know how to take on Trump 2.0, the slightly more confident version of Trump, and also the fact that they had done protests last time, so how then do you do it this time? And they're split very much between the kind of Bernie Sanders socialist progressive wing of the party and then the more moderate wing of the party, you know, here represented by Cuomo and the Clintons, and they're not sure what path to take. And this is, I suppose, the first sign we've had of one path that might work, and therefore it's really interesting to look at.
So who is this lad?
This fella, he's a Ugandan-born New York assemblyman. He was an assemblyman for only 3 years. Indian parents, Columbia University professor, as well as an Oscar-winning director are his parents. And so, you know, he's not exactly from a working-class background himself. He was also, very interestingly, a former rapper. He had an attempt at a rap career. He was known as Mr. Cardamom in 2019. But he then decided to run for mayor. He entered the race at either 1% or less than 1%, depending on the polls that you look at, as early as this year, and managed through an incredibly disciplined and effective communications campaign, an incredible ground game to take on Andrew Cuomo, you know, the former governor, you know, an absolute giant of Democratic politics. He had $25 billion in the super PAC Cuomo did, which was the most any mayoral candidate has ever had. And given, you know, Michael Bloomberg ran for mayor of New York, you know, it's not as if money is new to New York politics. So he was up against an absolute juggernaut, or not, and he managed to take it down piece by piece. He's a really, really interesting character. He describes himself as a democratic socialist. He is endorsed by, you know, Ocasio-Cortez as well as Bernie Sanders. He is solidly from that wing of the party, and he has not run away from any of his previous views around, you know, maybe how to refund the police department and to defund the police movement. And he's got very, very strong views on Gaza and Israel. He hasn't run away from those views, but what he did in this campaign was not talk about them, not talk about ideology really at all. He just talked about affordability. New York is too expensive. I have ideas. Let me try my ideas.
Now, of course, he has been portrayed as a communist by Donald Trump, and that's before he even gets into the fact he was born in Uganda and is a Muslim. Would we even consider him to be centre-left in European standard?
Well, I mean, in European standards, absolutely, but American politics is very, very different. You know, like much of what Bernie Sanders talks about, he's seen as very radical in the US, but if you look at it from our kind of our cultural context here, he would be a more traditional leftist politician.
And again, just for context for listeners, I mean, I'm putting him somewhere kind of Fianna Fáil in the 90s as opposed to the Social Democrats now.
It depends on the context where you're coming from. I mean, if the entire discourse is very, very much to the right, as it is in the US at the moment, anything to the left is seen as more radical. The best way to understand it is probably to look at the policies that he was putting forward. Okay, so he communicated these really well, but his campaign was relatively simple. He was all about affordability. His big campaign slogans were freeze the rent. So looking at a rent freeze, it wouldn't be unknown to us here in Ireland, looking at a rent freeze for about 1 million of the 8 million people in New York. fast free buses, so make public transport free, and therefore he says make it faster as well. The majority of people in New York don't own a car. The majority of them use buses, not the underground, and then no cost childcare. So again, we very much a Social Democrat Labour policy here would be affordable childcare, no cost childcare. He has more slightly interesting ideas around kind of state owned grocery shops to remove.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one. So like that sounds very anti-competitive that you could have a state owned grocery shop that wouldn't have to pay the same taxes as the other ones down the road.
Well, yeah, but the idea, I suppose, is if you're in a cost of living crisis, then it speaks to people's values that, you know, that if you have no profit margin, you'll be able to get it for cheaper. He's been pushing and asked about it, and he actually gave, I thought, a very honest answer, which says, sure, let's try it. Let's try it and see, and if it doesn't work, I'll try something else. But I think it speaks to what's really interesting about how he focused his campaign, Jonathan, which was he used his policies to communicate his values and his principles rather than trying to just communicate the policies themselves. And that's what really, really brilliant politicians can do. It's not just about the policy. Once people understand the policy, make it visual, make it understandable, what does that say about the candidate and their priorities? So, I mean, it's basically what Donald Trump does. I mean, if you look at what Donald Trump did originally with the Build the Wall, that was a policy. It was really easy to understand, but it wasn't really just about the policy. It was speaking about Donald Trump's values. I'm going to take immigration really seriously. And if you agree with that, you therefore understand where I'm coming from. This is a very, very similar approach. And it's incredibly effective because people can understand it straight away. He communicated it beautifully and brilliantly online via TikTok and Instagram, where he's kind of native to that model and does it very, very well. So people saw it, people liked what they heard, but it's more about the fact that he understands that affordability and cost of living is now absolutely everything. When people think about the economy now, they don't think about jobs, they don't think about infrastructure, they think about it's too expensive to live. And he worked that out and was able to speak to it.
And if you speak to anyone who has been to the States or who has relatives in the States, that is the one big talking point. Let's listen to this. This is Mam Dani taken to the streets of New York, specifically two boroughs that saw a swing towards Donald Trump. Here he is speaking to Trump voters after the 2024 presidential election.
Did you get a chance to vote on Tuesday?
I didn't vote.
And why did you not vote?
Because I don't believe in the system anymore.
And did you get a chance to vote on Tuesday?
Yes!
And who did you vote for?
Trump!
The million-dollar question. Trump.
Trump.
Donald Trump.
Well, actually, early voted. I voted for Trump.
Honestly, I didn't vote.
Yo voté por Trump.
She voted for Trump.
I voted for Trump.
I voted for Trump.
Me too.
Before I voted Democrat, at this moment, I voted Donald Trump.
The swing is because people want lower prices. They probably believe that Trump would give them that.
Working families, they're working one to two, three jobs, and rent is expensive. Foods are going up. Utility bills are up.
And that's your hope, to see a little bit more of an affordable life?
Absolutely.
You know, we have a mayor's race coming up next year, and if there was a candidate talking about freezing the rent, making buses free, making universal childcare a reality, are those things that you'd support?
Absolutely. He'd have my vote all day.
We need childcare that is affordable. Buses should be free. The hike in the Metro cards is like totally unaffordable.
So my name is Zoran Mamdani. I'm going to be running for mayor next year.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to be running on that platform. Thank
you. I'm going to vote for you. Your energy is...
Thank you. Thank you. My energy is getting up to inflation.
Yeah, just to advise any Irish politicians listening, please don't do a video like that. It won't end well for you. Can you just imagine this playing out in a red state, though, Lorcan? If you could transport him and drop him in Austin, well, maybe Austin, Texas would be too fine, but drop him anywhere else in Texas, he'd be slaughtered.
Well, so I suppose New York saw the biggest move towards Trump of anywhere in the United States. Okay, so obviously it didn't turn to Trump, but the biggest move towards it. So, I mean, that idea that he was able to go talk to people, see where they're at, and then flow his campaign from there was effective. And look, the video itself was effective. It's a model that people will be aware of online, man with a microphone going talking to people. And so he was able to use that. It only worked because nobody had a clue who he was as he was talking to them and was then able to announce who he was. So it would be a very different video if he did it now. But I suppose you point to how relevant is this for the wider Democratic Party? How relevant is it for 2028 and taking on whoever the Republican nominee might be? And there will be seeds of it that are relevant. Bernie Sanders has consistently made the argument from 2016 on that if you just give his version of politics a chance, it will talk to working class people, it will talk to their needs, and that will be enough to win. He has consistently said that. That has therefore never been tested. This is now a test for it. He has won the Democratic primary. Yes, it's New York, but he has won the Democratic primary and now has to win a serious position of mayor of New York, a budget of over, you know, $100 billion. If he can win and win well, it does build that argument that this version of politics in the fractured, broken society that America and American politics is can work. It can be electable.
Well,
and they can build on that
argument. All it's going to do is create this dichotomy that's already there between the left and the right in the US. And normally what happens when you have those two terrible options of far left and far right is you get paralysis. Which is what they have now.
it's what they have anyway. Look, so I mean, the counter argument to what I was just saying there is that if they don't manage to win, if he doesn't manage to win in New York, okay, if he can't in what is still a very solidly blue city manage to get over the line, because you know he still has a competitor in the current mayor, Eric Adams, who is now an independent. There will be a huge amount of money going into that campaign. It's not a sure thing that he's going to become mayor. If they can't win there, it's a fatal blow for the progressive movement in America, because that electability argument is over for a generation, because they're saying, well, look, if you couldn't even get over the line in New York of all places when you had all of these advantages, well, then people do not want this socialist revolution that you've been telling us they want. So that's why I think it matters, because it's either a small but significant building block towards the argument that Bernie Sanders makes, which is that the establishment is wrong and actually we can get elected and people do want what we're selling, or it's the absolute kind of kryptonite and the fatal blow to the progressive movement. But then to the point of, you know, the right and left and the paralysis you're going to get. America is divided, okay? But there's fascinating voters that are out there, and I think it's a growing number. There's one voter in New York who's become relatively famous because he loves Donald Trump and he loves Ocasio-Cortez, okay? They are the two least...
Well, he's confused.
Yeah, they are the two least similar politicians in America. But there's a growing movement of people who do like the Bernie Sanders wing and do like Donald Trump, because it's anti-establishment and it's talking to the same issues. The solutions for the issues are very different, but they actually talk to the same problem. You know, things like cost of living, things like, you know, America's in the wrong direction. So that's a growing voter block. I mean, Joe Rogan could be won over by this guy. Joe Rogan, you know, Bernie Sanders was one with him the other day and they got on very, very well. Bernie Sanders has been in a tour of the right-wing podcasts and he wins them over because they speak to the same issues, just with different solutions.
And it goes back to the core of the Democrats' problem. And a lot of people would argue that if it was Bernie Sanders who went up against Donald Trump as opposed to Hillary Clinton, Sanders might actually have won and the Trump issue could have been neutralised very early on. Look, Lorcan, we watch with interest that election still to come. Of course, he has got a Republican opponent who has yet to be decided. Lorcan Nine, head of training at the Communications Clinic and columnist with the Sunday Independent. Thank you for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.